What a wonderful message on the subject of the sovereignty of God. It's so well balanced. Some people get things out of kilter, out of balance, I think, as far as the sovereignty of God is concerned. Some people won't care far enough, and some people will care too far. But this was a scriptural approach, and I sure hope all of us can retain it in our minds, our thoughts, and remember in the days to come. I know Brother Phillips has been preaching on the miracles of the New Testament recently, but I want to go to one of those this morning. It's been on my mind and also been on my heart for most week, especially since Thursday. I'd like to read to you to get one phrase out of the account that John records. It's a miracle that's recorded in all three of the Gospels. But anyway, this one I'd like to just read to you the most brief. John chapter 6, verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not now come to them. Let me read that again. I didn't read it correctly. This is the text. This is what I'd like to look at. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh into the ship. And they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was on the land whither they went. One thing I want us to notice before we go directly into the parable itself, and that was that the first part of this chapter deals with the multiplying of the loaves and fishes. You remember how that the Lord took the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish of the young lad and multiplied it so that at least 500, there was actually more than that, but there was 500 men, 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, that were blessed with all that they wanted to eat. And something very significant, I think, the Lord was a frugal person, but there was another reason as well. It says, when they were all filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments that had not been eaten. There was 12 of these apostles, we know, and there was 12 baskets. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus perceived that they were happy. They'd been fed. Now, you're talking about dinner on the ground. They had had a truly blessed dinner on the ground that day. And they were all filled, and he perceived that they were wanting to make him a king. And so, he departed, went up into a mountain. And the scriptures does not tell us here, but I would like to actually go to Mark's writing and use the account that Mark gives here, because there's some other details that I wanted to notice, but I wanted to give that one expression over there that it was dark and that Jesus had not yet come unto them. We're not told until we come to the Gospel of Mark that Jesus himself constrained these disciples to get in the ship and go on this journey. Read it in Mark, you might get the implication that they just did it on their own. But the Bible tells us that Jesus constrained them to get into the ship. And in just a little while, they had rowed. The scripture tells us they were, we come on down about verse 47. Of course, he sent the people away, the multitude away. He went into the mountain. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And it was about the fourth watch of the night. They were toiling. That word toiling there means that they were struggling hard. In fact, that word is translated torment in another place. They were actually tormented by the obstacles and the troubles that they were undergoing. They were involved in a tremendous storm. I've read that the Sea of Galilee can be beautiful. It can be calm. It can be a surreal, it can just be a beautiful scene. But that beautiful sea had turned into a death trap for them. The wind was blowing. The wind was beating the sea, and the sea was beating them as they were in the ship. They had become terrified. They were afraid. I don't remember who I stole this from, but one person I read one time said that the devil is the sinister minister of fear. Now, we as God's ministers try to comfort God's people with the Word of God, especially when they're going through difficult times. But the devil's got the opposite purpose. Whenever you are faced with a fearful situation in this life, he's going to do his dead-level best to make it worse. And because of the fact there's sin in this world, and we are sinful beings, there's going to be storms that's going to arise in our lives. Death is going to come in our families. Sometimes when it's very, very much unexpected. We left on our trip last week, and we were under the impression that Brother, in fact, I talked to Sister Myrtle, and she told me that Brother Charles had been moved to a room and that he was doing really well. And then just like that, things turned around. And the storm began to arise in their lives. We have deaths. We have setbacks in our lives. We have all kinds of heartaches. We have tears in our lives that come along. And we're faced with these storms in our lives as well. Now, they're in the midst of the sea. The scripture tells us that they had rowed probably somewhere around 4 miles. They were out. It's too far to swim back. The storm is raging. What are they going to do? Worse than that, the Bible tells us Jesus was not, it was dark. The storm was blowing, and Jesus had not come unto them. You ever had situations in your life where you were facing an obstacle and you felt the presence of Jesus Christ come to you? I mean, there's no peace in this world that's like that. I've had some fearful situations, and I've heard others tell about fearful situations. I've known some people that was facing major, major surgery. I mean, open heart surgery and things like that. And they tell about how as they faced it, they were so dreadful and fearful of it. And then maybe the night before, there would just be a peace that would sweep over them. Sister Myrtle told some that, in fact, Brother Charles said that, told me himself, at the back of this building, he said, when he was talking about his surgery, he said, you know, I'm in a win-win situation. He said, if I get through it, I've got my family, I've got the church, I've got the things here in this world that I enjoy, but he said, if I don't make it, says it, I get to go home and be with the Lord. And he says, I'm in a win-win situation. What a wonderful attitude to have. That kind of attitude can only come when the presence of the Lord is with you. And it's a wonderful thing to have the presence of the Lord. But if you've ever been in a situation, a fearful situation, and you face that thing, but that peace had not come, and it just seemed like the Lord would not come, and you pray and you pray and you pray about it, Lord, I need your strength, I need your presence in this situation, but it just doesn't seem to come. Why? Why would the Lord delay his coming as he did here on this occasion? It was dark, and he was not come unto them. One time I read a story. It was in one of Max Lucado's books. I enjoy reading his writings. And he was telling about these two maestros. They were experienced musicians. And they went to hear this highly talented young soprano. This lady got up and sang that night. And when it was over, the younger of the two men that were sitting in the audience commented on the purity of her voice and what a great potential that she had, how good she was. The older one sat there and said, yes, she's good, but she'll be much better when she has her heart broke a few times. He says, there's some passion that comes only from trials. There's some passion that comes only when we experience some troubles in this world. And sometimes God knows and God allows us to endure some of the pains that we experience in this life, as Lucado said, for the sake of the song. for the sake of the experience and for the sake of the knowledge that we gain when the Lord does come and when we're blessed so wonderfully with the things that He blesses us with. We notice in verse 48, He saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. It wasn't easy. It wasn't glamorous. I mean, they were rowing, they were rowing, they were rowing. You know, much of life is spent rowing and toiling, doesn't it? You know, when we're young and we start dating and we find this young man or this young girl and we just feel like if we get married, marriage will be nothing but one wonderful long date. But you know what? The honeymoon wears off, doesn't it? It's not long, in fact, before the honeymoon wears off. Sometimes we feel like, you know, just having kids, if I can just have some children, you know, we kind of think it'd be like that real glamorous babysitting experiences that we've had in the past. And we find out that it just doesn't turn out to be that way, that it's a whole lot more involved with it than just a marriage being a long date and having children will be like the glorious babysitting experience. All of that comes to an end, and the bills start coming in. And the difficult times start coming in. The sicknesses in the babies tend to come along. And you have those sleepless nights. And you wonder how the bill's going to get paid. How is this going to happen? So how are we going to get through this kind of thing? Lord, when are you going to come? You can't feel that peace. And you're rowing and you're rowing and you're rowing. And you wonder when it's going to come to an end. And they might have been asking, just as we ask sometimes, where is the Lord in situations like that? Well, where was He on this situation? I love Matthew's account of this. In verse 23, it tells us that when He had sent the multitude away, He went up into the mountains. Some of the accounts just tells us He went up in the mountains to be alone. But this one tells us that He went up into the mountain to pray. And when evening was come, He was there alone. Where was He when they were down there towing? He saw them. He was praying for them. And when you're undergoing some of those trials and troubles in this life, which God knows that when you go through will help you to grow in grace and knowledge, and you'll become a stronger and better child of God for His service here in this world, He knows what's going on. We feel like sometimes that maybe we're all alone, He's left us alone, and we don't know what's going on. But He's there and He's praying for us. I think He was praying for those as well. He feels our burden. He knows what's going on in our hearts when we're all alone. Life is just like those waves there. Sometimes it's up, and sometimes we're down. Sometimes we're as happy as we can be, and we're joyous. Sometimes even in the kingdom, the fact that Camp Lanham Canyon was a hills and valleys. We're up, but we're also down sometimes. You know, if we were always up, if life was just nothing but up and experiences, we tripped away from the Lord, wouldn't we? We wouldn't feel our dependence and our need of Him. But sometimes when we're down in the valley, we then realize just how weak we are and also how much that we need by the Lord. Often we're driven by the waves of this world, but we need to put our trust in the Lord. You know, it's so easy, as old Baptist Brother Philip talks about the doctrine, how important it is. Isn't it wonderful to know that salvation is by grace? That we don't have to earn it. We can earn it. But not only that, we don't even have to keep ourselves saved. God has done that. Christ has done that for us through. God's done it for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe in eternal life. We're secure as far as our eternal life. And we trust God for that. I think it's wonderful to face death and know that your eternal destiny and your eternal salvation is based upon what Christ did and not what some decision that we've made or our perseverance here in this life. It's based upon what Christ has done for us that cannot be taken away. But then when it comes to daily life and the experiences that we face here in this world, we trust Him for eternal life, but we fail then sometimes to trust Him like we ought to for those storms, those experiences, those storms that come along the way. It come to the point Christ waited and it looked like all human hope was lost. They couldn't swim to the shore. They were out in the middle of this thing. The storm was raging. And then the Bible tells us, and straightway Jesus, and then it tells us that it was contrary, the wind was contrary, they were in the midst of the sea, they were tossed about with the waves, and that the wind was contrary to them. But in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking in the water. He might have been testing their faith at that time. He wanted to show them something as well. Why would he come walking on the water? Because I think the Lord shows us sometimes that very thing that causes us so much fear is just a time, a point in life, it's an experience, it's something for him to present himself to show that he's more powerful than anything that you've ever faced in this life. And that he, brother, that we, with his help, the things that we fear the most can just be a carpet for him to come and to come to us and to bless us with what we stand in need of this life. Somebody said one time that there's so much in this life is like that rowing. And so it is. You get up out of bed every morning, same thing. Go to the job. Go to the school. You present, and you do that homework over and over. It seems like it's kind of like a little boy that went to the first grade. I told you about it many times over at Danville. And our superintendent came around and visited with us and asked us what all we learned that day. If we learned anything, and one little boy looked at him and said, "Well, I thought I did, but I must not. They told me I got to come back tomorrow." You know, that's the way life is. That's the way the job is. If you could just go and just on the good days, well, it'd be nice, but life is just, black guy on the job, they asked, the boss asked him one day, said, "What's the matter?" He said, "You don't like your job?" He said, "I appreciate my job. It's just so regular." That's the way life is. It's just so regular. It's roaring and toiling and toiling and toiling, paying the bills. So I said one time, life is a whole lot more struggle than it is strut. And it's a whole lot more wrestling than it is resting. And that's what life is, isn't it? We wrestle with ourselves. We wrestle with the children. We wrestle when they're little children. We wrestle with them when they want to get out of the lap. When they get teenagers, we wrestle with them. And then we wrestle with ourselves. We wrestle with everything in this life. It seems like we just row and row and row and row. But may I encourage you by this miracle here. Jesus came. They were afraid. We may even be afraid when sometimes when the Lord answers our prayers and He does come, because He may not come exactly the way that we think He ought to come. But He comes. And He speaks. And He says, "Peace. Be still." I don't know what all went through the mind, and I don't know what went through the heart of Brother Charles in those days in the hospital. I don't know if he was even conscious. But I am sure of this. There was a conscious relationship between him and the Holy Spirit. And there came a time God came, touched him, said, "Peace, be still." And he entered into that eternal rest. God not only does that for his people, he's dead, but he can do it for us here in life and our struggles as well. There are people right now that are struggling with the death of a lost love. It might be a widow or a widower whose mate has died years ago, but they're still struggling with it. There are people who are struggling with those daily struggles that I've stressed that we all have. But God can come not only, the Spirit of God can come not only in a miraculous way as He did here, but He can come in our experiences and He can say, "Peace, be still." And there's nothing in this world that's life, feeling of peace of God that comes to a child of God when he's struggling in this world. And I'll tell you another time when the peace of God comes, at least it did, I can say from my own experience, I struggled not very long, but I struggled for at least a week or two with a tremendous burden to join the church. I told you a lot of times that I was sitting between two cousin boys on a Friday night, and one of them said, "Let's join us." I was the one that held them back. I No, not tonight. I hadn't really thought about it that much. But you know what? I thought about it an awful lot the next week. One more week later, Brother Dow gave the opportunity for members, Brother Ike. And I thought it would be just so wonderful. I thought all my troubles would be over. I can't remember, but I know it was 2 weeks. It might have been a month from then before I was baptized. You know what? The devil tried to convince me that I'd done the wrong thing. Your friends are going to give you a hard time. You've done the wrong thing. But when I came up out of that water, I tell you, the day brightened up. There was a peace that came over me. I've said it 100 times. I'll say, well, I don't know where I slept that night, somewhere between the sheets in heaven. But there was a peace that came over me that to some extent still dwells with me. I think the Lord's pleased with God's children. And He gives them a peace when they do what He leads them to do. May God add His blessings to these.